the introverted, intuitive, feeling, judging type, the INFJ. A word or two about some introductions. That is to say that when we speak of a type, we're speaking in generalities, and so a caution needs to be aired to avoid the possibility of super generalizations. I'll try to avoid that, but on occasion I fall into that trap. Further, when describing a type, sometimes maleness and femaleness will get overlooked, and so again, we'll try to keep that in mind, but should that be overlooked, I would like for you, the listener to the tape, to make some translation. The purpose and the underlying idea is to introduce to you, whether you are an INFJ or whether you're a different type, some of the highlights of this uniquely creative individual type. Type watching is never an excuse for our personality behaviors, only an explanation. That as we understand ourselves better and as we understand differences, we may make more creative uses of them. And so with that in mind, let's take a look at the INFJ. Creative, introspective, quiet. These are all words that come to mind when I think of an INFJ.
Someone who is very people-oriented, and the work that they would involve themselves with or in their day-to-day interaction is going to be quietly oriented towards some harmony with their workers and people they're with.
The INFJ has been described as the most psychic of the 16 types, and what you say is so very important in understanding this type, because more than any other type, I believe they have a capacity in their introversion to be aware of the interpersonal dynamics that are often going on in a group. And though they're aware of them, they can't always express them in precise or clear verbal ways. And as a result of this, more than any other type, they often carry within them the group dynamics. Sometimes this really gets more than anyone ought to carry. But the INFJ will be aware of a nuance between two people or some interpersonal grief between a set of people. And as a result of this, can often gather certain dynamics that may be going on. And then when suddenly looks to them and says quickly, well, what seems to be the trouble here? Can you help us out? They could indeed help them out, but their introversion turns them only inward. And then later on, they're not above feeling badly or guilty or even punishing themselves for being unable on the moment to help out two people in the group or to help out some folks who were somewhat frozen interpersonally. That's part of their creativity. That's part of their uniqueness. The INFJ needs to understand that about themselves, and others in dealing with an INFJ perhaps need to allow space when you ask an INFJ for help. Give them space first before you expect that help to come from them.
Mm-hmm. With their intuition being introverted, it's interesting because one doesn't often see the real creative, almost playful part of the INFJ that really exists there. We see the person who is quietly caring for others in sometimes a very orderly, scheduled way. And I have found it most often that when I have read something that the INFJ writes where they're able to do it quietly on their own, it surprises me because it's a very different picture than what I have of them day-to-day interacting with them.
They're a uniquely creative type with the written word. But again, because they're intuitive feelers, they're frequently out there instead of home writing. And as a result of that, it's very interesting how an INFJ can be, if you will, pulled along by some other type. And this kind of builds on what you're saying, Janet, because they'll come across initially as quiet, reserved, and then all of a sudden they get these tremendously humorous kinds of quips or intuitive insights that they drop out there. But the climate has to be safe, or they have to have another extroverted type, or at least a different type, running some interference for them. And then there's this wealth of humor, dryness, subtlety, insight, richness, all of that. But it takes space to before it just comes out.
Right. They can be sometimes misunderstood then in many ways.
Not only misunderstood, frequently they're seen as too reserved. They're frequently read as stubborn. They're frequently read as not caring. And, of course, all that does is heighten their own hurt. If someone looks at an INFJ and says, you really don't care about our problem, or you're not involved in our situation right now. They indeed are involved. But again, one more time, how do they express that in a way that's meaningful to the person or the persons who have suddenly put them on or put mm-hmm. them into the limelight?
And as one of the NF family members, isn't it that they are probably the one of the NFs that had the most difficulty, or at least are not as open with their emotions or how they're caring about people as some of the other NFs?
Yeah, we may pick this up again a little bit later when we're talking about the family, but in describing the INFJ, other writers have said that while given to having high needs for affection of this particular feeling types, they're one of the lowest to express them. Or it said they express their affection only on their terms. And one of the things I've encountered, for example, in dealing with marital counseling, where this INFJ type may be involved, they know clearly that what the mate needs is a stroke, or they know that the mate needs an I love you, and yet because they're not ready to express it, because it's not on their terms, they often can clam up, if you will, and the other person who needs the stroke most goes without because the INFJ is not ready to share it. That's particularly unique to this type. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a minute about careers for the INFJ. Because of their rich inner intuitive life, they're often one who follows theory, who likes theory, who is drawn to theory, and as a result, at almost any of the upper levels of teaching, they can be profound contributors. They publish, they write fluently, but more than that, they convey to their students the usual intuitive feeling warmth and personalization, so that if you are the student of an INFJ teacher, you have felt actualized, you have felt affirmed, and generally you are inspired to follow whatever area it is that the INFJ is teaching. It's a profession that's highly commendable to them. They make brilliant therapists. I swear, and this is just a parens, I swear most every Jungian analyst I've ever had any encounter with is probably an INFJ, because it's the richness of Jung's theory coupled with the translation of that theory into interpersonal analysis and help for people just makes the INFJ natural. And then, of course, when they pursue that in the written form, it comes out in some very beautiful and rich books that are contributions to Jungian theory. But certainly psychotherapy, therapy of any kind, social work, teaching, medicine to a degree. But often the danger with an INFJ is with probably any intuitive feeler, they may get turned off by the biological hard science preparation for a career in medicine. If they get past that, they're superb in the whole area of the medical science, and particularly as general practitioners. They bring a warmth and a caring to the patient that, again, is consistent with this particular type.
Mm-hmm. I would envision them as very warm, caring managers in any kind of system, but may not have the patience to stay within the business world or within any kind of a government setting because of their own sense of caring for humanity and maybe not wanting to deal with the system as it's set up.
Yeah, funny you mention that. Way more often than not, whenever I experience a high-ranking government official, military or civilian, or a corporate head who is an INFJ, while on the one hand they are looked to and revered as fine leaders, inside themselves they carry much too much of the interpersonal business to themselves. They carry too much, they personalize it too much, they overwork the issues too much. This is the type, very different than some other introverted types, this is the type that can't let go, can't leave work at work, but what they take home of work is the interpersonal shtick. Who did what to whom today, or how they may have failed today, or what went wrong today interpersonally, and that tends to gnaw at them. And so way more than other types, if they survive that corporate government jungle and rise to the top, by the time they get there. They usually are ones that are just loaded with some kinds of stomach issues and just carrying all that garbage of interpersonal caring.
Yeah, it's interesting as you were saying that, as we're talking about it, I thought, boy, that sounds like a good campground for an ulcer or something.
Oh. Lower colon, even more than ulcer. They carry it all right there, and all that caring that they didn't express, it goes home with them and resides right there. And so that's particularly unique. And interestingly enough, because they are this type career-wise, and that would be true if they're into counseling, into teaching, into any of the interpersonal fields, music, arts, they're just natural at all of that stuff. If they get into the area of carrying too much of their stuff in themselves, inside themselves, then this is a type, interestingly enough, that meditation, reflection, some kind of alone exercise can often provide more therapeutic value than with some other types. They're particularly good in the whole area of meditation, and when they get into it, again, their writing skills come to the forefront, and they provide a wealth of background of the written word about meditation and reflection and that sort of thing. They're a type that are particularly good for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, the INFJ and the career choices need to be people-centered. They need to translate this rich, intuitive, idea-oriented, theoretical inner life into interpersonal skills that reflect organization, that reflect deliverables. So, for example, if they are a therapist, they want to see from week to week that their client does some moving and growing, and they want to work that into research. So they take this rich intuitive life and translate it into interpersonal products, into interpersonal growth, into interpersonal what I'm calling deliverables. And that's really the way the career direction ought to go for them. If it doesn't, I'm saying they tend to punish themselves physically.
Mm-hmm.
So in the long haul, it'll get them a better outlook on life if they use their inner life for interpersonal material, interpersonal things. The INFJ in career. Let's take a look at them in the family, because we've already touched on the fact that while warm and loving and easy to get along with, it still is largely on their terms, and while the heartburn that brings to another mate, particularly if it's an extroverted mate. Here comes the extroverted mate, or here comes the extroverted child of the family wanting a pat on the head, and it's not the INFJ's day to give pats on the head. And so the extrovert goes away bruised, hurt, rejected, and the INFJ, if they know, and they frequently do know, that they did indeed hurt or convey rejection to their mate, then they carry it all inside themselves. And my experience as I see that with the INFJ, it's like two ships passing in the night. They knew what was needed, they saw the dynamic, and yet somehow in their introversion and their intuition, they didn't intercept it. And so as a result, the mate and the INFJ pass on the way. And that's too bad. I somehow wish I could take their introversion and translate it through their F in those moments, because rarely, as I have worked personally and publicly with INFJs, rarely do they need an explanation. They know the situation.
Mm-hmm.
They have psyched it, seen it, experienced it, felt it, all inside. And again, put that in a family, and particularly with extroverts, you have some folks that really end up kind of admiring them immensely, but feeling lonely and feeling a high need for wanting some expression from the INFJ. And frequently, if the time's not right, it isn't there. And that particularly needs monitoring. I'm not giving advice, but if I were, I'd be saying to the INFJ, even though you don't want to reach out and stroke that mate or that child, you might want to work on it. You might want to push yourself. You might want to say, hey, this time I really ought to say I love you, or good job, or well done, instead of watching quietly, admiring it and thinking those things, but never expressing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a particular issue with this type. Otherwise, as mates, they're what? Stalwart, dependable, they're there. as I said, given to be a little stubborn now and then, but they're going to be around there. They're going to be the backbone. They get a little externally. They get a little neat and nitpicking about the outer world. But all you got to do is take them in away from the lawn or take them in away from whatever it is that's drawing them to that neatness, and you can find an inner life that isn't so given to routine and rituals and schedules, but can lay back and enjoy and relax. And here again is where space needs to be allowed for their ability to escape into their inner world. And if they haven't allowed for that in the picking of their mate, meaning if they've married an extrovert, extroverts sometimes don't understand that need that runs through all introverts and manifests itself so uniquely and dynamically in the INFJ.
So it sounds in some ways that the INFJ may have difficulty just letting go and playing.
Oh, yes, indeed.
That they need to have someone help them come out and play a little bit more, too.
They, like some of the other IJs, want to schedule their play. And that really can get into to be a hassle. As a child, the INFJ brings all the complexities that we've just been describing in adulthood to childhood. And wow, how convoluted that gets. Because as an INFJ child, they want strokes, they want pats, they want affirmations. But guess what? They're not into giving a great many of those to their parents. They're not into giving a great many to brothers and sisters and yet want them in return. And it gets particularly confusing for the family to understand. Likewise, take this rich inner life, and they over-personalize. This is the child who goes to the room and wants to reflect, think, meditate, study alone. This is the one who gets this richness and wants to translate it, perhaps through arts or crafts or what have you. And again, if it's a different type of parent, they don't understand. Why is the kid in the room? Sure, I look at the painting, but the painting seems deep, or the painting isn't understood, or the painting has some other kinds of configurations that are beautiful colors, but may not speak to me as an extroverted parent. And so as a result of that, I wonder what's going on in this child. And again, if I don't understand type, we begin to estrange ourselves, which throws the INFJ more into their introverted world. And it's exactly the opposite that I believe is needed. We need to bring them out. They do need those strokes, even though they may not return them. They need some affirmations. They need to be able to translate that whatever it is, that artwork, even that stubbornness, that supposed lack of giving strokes. The INFJ child needs to translate those very things into some meaningful interpersonal activities in the family. So that even though as an INFJ child, I don't say, well, I love you, Dad. By being around Dad or Mother or whomever it is, I will convey to them the things that I don't always say. And I think that's important in a family.
Think of the INFJ child as being a pretty good student. So, you know, since they are intuitive, they catch on very quickly to a lot of the theoretical presentations and really would like to please both teacher and parent and really schedules their life so they really can do that sort of thing.
They have an inordinate amount of patience for tolerating theoretical stuff, and you're right. They really are. In merit scholarship and in all of the advanced scholarship, the INFJ excels. The space needs to be allowed as parents for that to happen.
INFJs are reflective. They're not easy to know.
They're busy sorting intuitive interconnections. They usually do their sorting alone.
When their intuitive powers are focused on helping others they meet,
they're empathic, penetrating, insightful, even psychic, if you believe.
Outwardly, they have this need for scheduling,
but inwardly, they're juggling on the possibility.
And that's why everybody loves in INFJ. Yes, outwardly, they have this need for scheduling.
Possibility.
And that's why everybody loves in our